From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad. Was that little cup of tea nice? Did you enjoy your coffee? Or did you have a milkshake from McDonald's and throw up afterwards, like the boys did in Paris?
That's disgusting.
It's Eric Wiltshire, Lee Banks and Mark Gender on Postcard from Poprad. And I despair now. I really do. Damien Hirst is to design a Brit Award. Well, that's going to be something I'd put in the cupboard under the stairs behind the toilet out of the way.
Well, the Brit Awards themselves should be put in formaldehyde and just to put in a museum. They are so old-fashioned and pointless.
Why?
Well, because who do they celebrate? The last person on there was that Adele, a woman who used to make computers and failed. There is just nothing there in the Brit Awards. James Corden, who's ever heard of him? He's just a little fat boy who had the television show once.
He's got a television show now.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's something that bothers me about so much of this modern art, and that is, I think Damien Hirst, in a way, is a case in point. You know, that he's done these sort of cows that are split in half and what have you, and he has to give them a name. He has to give them a catchy name, and quite frankly, so he has to call it, was it Mother and Calf Divided or something like that? You know, so that the whole thing's a big pun, and it's a big word game. And I have to say that it seems to me that if you produce a piece of art that's not capable standing on its own two feet without having to have a catchy slogan to sort of help and support it like a crutch. Quite frankly, it doesn't work very well.
I wonder
how Damien Hirst's thing of cows being split in half, and let me say, I'm not an animal activist, I don't have a particular view on that in respect of that. But I thought the whole thing was a bit unnecessary. But I wonder whether it would have really been nearly so popular if he'd simply said, no name, make of it what you will. And I think the great art in the great tradition of Western art, do I hear somebody snoring, going back for over 1,000 years, going back for 2,000 years, most of that, if it's got a title, it's simply descriptive of the subject matter and it's nothing else.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll agree with you, Mark, in a funny little story, which is based in Hitchin in Hertfordshire in the UK. And there was I, as part of my apprenticeship, I had to sit with what was known as a British Telecom jointer, which is the bloke that goes down holes and repairs the cables. And as an apprentice, you had this marvellous job to do. You had to sit at the top of the hole and make sure nobody fell down it. And that was your job. You were bored to tears. Yes. And on one of these jobs that he was doing, we were on a building site. They were building new houses. And there happened to be a piece of sandstone close by me. So I picked it up. And with the issue screwdriver, I was fiddling about with it, just boredom. I mean, if I'd have been in the hillbilly land, I'd have been cutting me wood off or something. And I was just scratching around on this stuff. This bloke walked over and said, wow, that's wonderful. So I said, oh, thank you. And he went, do you make these often? So I thought, hello, here we go. And I said, well, occasionally, it's just when I have the moment and I feel like it. And I do it with sandstone. I said, then I lacquer them and give them to people. Could I have one? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I said, where are you? He said, are you in King's Road? I said, yes. He said, I've got that little shop round the corner where we've got all the art and stuff in there. I said, oh, well, look. So tell you what, when I've done it and I've lacquered it, I'll bring it round and you can have it. And I stuck to my guns and I went home because we had a nice workshop. I sprayed it with car lacquer so as it went nice and hard, so it wouldn't fall to bits because it was sandstone. I walked in there and he was ranting alarmingly about all the characteristics of some art and what it matched and didn't match. I was poking holes in a piece of sandstone with a screwdriver.
Can I just rejoin on this philistinism?
Oh.
Right? The simple fact is
that
what you've just described, this sandstone edifice that you created in a moment of boredom,
yes,
actually had a meaning to this man, and he liked it, and he wanted it. That is basically what avant-garde and surrealistic art is about. It doesn't need a name. Surrealistic art.
So basically, what you're saying is it's boredom.
No, surrealistic art is about the fact that you find your own pathway through it and your own story, and in that way, as drugs, which is what drugs are about. Drugs are about surrealistic thoughts. It should expand and open your mind and give you views of the world in a different way. If you don't like Damien Hirst, I think that's fine. I have a stuffed shark in my lounge, as we all know, which is worth about 18, well, probably worth about 12 grand.
Right.
Damien Hirst stuffed shark was worth millions.
Right.
I don't understand why, but he had created that surrealistic edifice to present something to the world. And if he's a misunderstood artist, you can't condemn the man for it.
I'm a misunderstood genius.
I don't think I misunderstand Damien Hirst at all. I think I understand him very well.
Yeah.
And actually, I think it's a bit sad.
No, I think he's a clever marketeer.
Just because I don't, you seem to be saying, if I don't appreciate Damien Hirst, that's because I don't understand him. What a load of codswallop! I think I understand him perfectly well, and what I understand and what I see, I don't think it has a lot of value, and I think he needs, it's a shame he needs captions to sort of emphasise or to dress up whatever it is he's trying to say. He doesn't seem to be able to say his art without a caption.
Yeah, I think we are bored.
I wasn't actually saying you didn't understand David.
Girls, Damien Hirst.
I was saying you didn't understand art.
We're bored. A new phone is coming out next year called the Flexi Phone. And
so
you can
floppy.
You can bend me, shape me any way you want me.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the headline he puts on it. Yeah. How many people remember that song? And who remembers who actually did it? I do, unfortunately.
Amen Corner.
Yeah, I know. He was good.
He was good, actually. Now, will we all be rushing out to buy one of these? I don't think so.
What's the point? What's the point? Why do you want a little phone that's all floppy and you can screw it up in a ball? What's the point?
Well, you could... Well,
it's just a way of making money out of idiots.
No, it's not. It's called technology.
It's called technology, and that's just ripping people. Ooh, let's make a little thin phone. It can go with your flexible friend in your wallet. What a load of
That might actually be an extremely good idea, you
yes.
see. I mean, the thing is that it could be a telephone. It could become a credit card. It might be something that can be transportable in a wallet. It may become very interesting. And, of course, what they're doing here is simply developing the technology.
Yes.
I think it's when you develop the technology and then it starts to become evident as people with ideas start to come along and suggest what can be done with it.
Gents, this could save us money. Gents. Lee, stum. This could save all three of us a lot of money.
Why?
Well, because we have to go out and buy these big handbags for girls to have to put everything bar in the kitchen sink in. So if they could roll their phone up into a little bag, we could save money by buying them a little bag.
What a load of rubbish! Technology is right, you're quite right. This is an extension of technology. It is looking into the future. But the simple fact is, we have to be cynical about this. You have to look at the cynical side of it, which is, they'll keep producing stuff like this, a little floppy phone that you can stick in your pocket, your flexi friend. And that is only to get the money out of your pocket, so you've got
Mark,
room to put it in.
Mark, did you ever have one of those Motorola 4000 phones?
I think my first mobile phone was a huge Motorola with a great big battery in it.
That's the one. Awesome. And then you had like a handset on the top of it.
Oh no, this didn't have that.
Oh right, well, mine was a handset on the top of this huge box which was batteries.
And you had to carry around like a suitcase.
Well, it was heavier than my current laptop.
Yeah.
And the battery lasted for a couple of hours if you were lucky, and you had to keep it charged up in your car all the time.
Yeah.
And technology has taken us from that, where I needed to go weight training every day to keep my phone going, to something that's going to be as thin as a credit card. I think that's brilliant.
Well, I think it's all very, very interesting, and I must say I'm very pleased. I'm very curious. The one thing I'm going to miss about being dead, apart from my children, is I'd love to know how it's all going to turn out.
We haven't even scraped the surface.
It's going to turn out badly.
It's going to turn inside out. I love this next story. I'm sorry to any of my Chinese friends who I love and cherish having as friends, but I sincerely love this story. And it's worth a look as a publication, boys and girls.
It is good.
The Onion. It is a spoof publication, and whatever it says, the opposite is the truth, almost, I suppose, is the best way to describe it. And
do you know why it's called The Onion?
No.
Well, carry on and I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay, well, Kim Jong-un, who is the new geezer in the North Korean whatever it is. It's not
Parliament.
Well, it's not a parliament because they're not elected proper. Anyway, The Onion has officially named him as the sexiest man alive for 2012. Yeah. And I quote from the publication, "With his devastatingly handsome round face, his boyish charm, his strong, sturdy frame, etc., etc., etc." It goes on.
And he only stopped there because he couldn't say Pyongyang.
Bread heartthrob is every woman's dream come true, and this has gone onto the net, and then they had an update.
Yep.
Coverage on The Onion sexiest man alive for 2012 has appeared as a real story in the People's Daily in China.
Yeah,
silly Billy. Well, that's yeah, but that's I can't understand this. I really can't understand why people are upset about this or are pointing it out like it's something that's
hysterically funny.
There's the point. There's the point. In the Leveson committee, if you remember, Leveson, that big bonkers joker, had the sense to say that newspapers are put on this earth to entertain, educate, and inform, and this is just a bit of entertainment.
No, but it's not. It's because they got it wrong.
And so, they didn't. It was entertainment. They thought it was a funny story like you did. You put it in the programme.
No,
their newspaper.
No, the People's Daily have now deleted it from the editions that they publish on the web. It's actually a 404 page. Gone. And so The Onion is now claiming that it has a proud communist subsidiary of The Onion is the People's Daily in China.
Silly, really, isn't it? They didn't have to do it. Why didn't they just say it's a joke?
What was the spoof they did quite recently? Is that Iran took seriously, and I can't remember what it was.
It was. There was another one, wasn't there? Yeah, you're quite right. But it is worth a read, boys and girls, because it's just so funny. And for the People's Daily in China to get sucked into it as well, it's just hysterical. Yeah. Absolutely hysterical. Anyway, bad news next. I thought I'd lighten it before we got here. Low-carbon economy is going to be funded by consumers in the UK. And this is according to Ed David, the energy minister, who's going down all these things about being green and stuff like that. But it would appear that to go green, you guys in the UK... Oh, it's not us, Mark. Mark, we're all right.
I know, it's us.
Mark, we're okay. It's just him.
Yeah, it's me.
Right.
It's me.
Oh, say the UK, right.
Yes, yes. Apparently right. £110 billion over the next 10 years is going to be paid out in the transformation, which is going to mean that Lee's energy bill by 2020, if he's still alive, will go up by 100 quid.
Absolutely.
Hang on. Lucky if that's all he goes up by.
Mark, you're in France. I'm in Slovakia. Yeah. Lee's bill goes up by 100 quid. Do we give a damn?
Well, is this really just a UK thing? I can imagine that the cost of going green is going to impact on people's bills everywhere in the world.
That joke didn't work, did it? Well, I suppose it will, but this is what they've said in the UK. And I have to say, living where I do now, the green values that are held here, or low carbon values, probably come back from communist days where there wasn't any money, so everybody ran around turning the lights off anyway. And they do build houses with energy conservation as the primary function. And all joking apart, in my flat, which is not enormous, but it's not a small flat, a small half-size radiator is all I ever use in the middle of winter when it's minus 20.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is that where you live, I mean, I've never been there, but I can imagine that there's a lot of new building and a lot of new development on a scale that we just don't have, for instance, in
Europe. No, not solely, Mark. But even the older houses are built with thermal usage in mind right from the beginning. And if you get an old house now and do it up, the first thing you see them do is put thermal covers on the outside and thermal covers on the inside.
But, I mean, we're not even talking about housing, though, are we? I mean, we're talking about factories. I mean,
yep. No, you're talking about me. I'm the one who's suffering.
Don't worry about thing, Lee.
So sensitive.
Yeah, we don't care about you, really, Lee, but we're just trying to be nice.
Do you want me to tell you what the score is with it?
Go on, then, if you must.
No.
Well, it's dead simple, isn't it?
What?
It's dead simple. Brits are just being stuffed again by the government.
What, by Damien Hirst?
Well, actually, you might as well. It'd probably be a lot less painful to have Damien Hirst come round and stuff you than being stuffed by the government. This energy bill, yeah, by 2020, it will only have gone up by £100. That's what they're talking about. They're doing it like £20 a year. So that's not going to hurt you. But the electricity bills and the power bills have gone up by 200% in the last 2 years anyway. And petrol's gone up by a ridiculous amount.
Petrol's just come down in England.
Yeah, by what? By 3p a litre?
That's a start.
But it's not going to go anywhere, is it? It's not going to happen. It's not going to change the world. It just doesn't matter.
Change the world now.
Yeah, I think it is. Let's move on, boys, because we've still got a lot to get through. This one's quite important. Minimum alcohol prices could actually swell European tourism if a new bill that's being proposed in the UK goes through, because it will cost the average UK family £100 a year more, in Lee's case £500, under new government plans for minimum alcohol pricing.
Well, it won't. It'll save me money.
Why?
Because
you're going to emigrate.
He's got a drink list.
He's not.
Absolutely not. No. It's 45p a unit they want to have per unit. There's 2.5 units in a pint of beer. That's £1.25. That's how much it's going to cost. It costs you nearly £4 at the moment. Welcome to the British government.
Well done. Yes. But interestingly, Alex Salmond, who's the Scottish First Minister, warns that he might actually go to the EU over this because he thinks it's illegal.
Well, I think it's illegal as well. I think this is absolutely disgusting and shameful. I was listening to a debate on the radio last night, and there were two leading ministers there. There was my old mate Neil Wallace off the Sun, and a couple of other people. And the minister said, who was against this, actually had the temerity to say, "You see, the problem is this will actually only affect the poor people." What he was saying is that the poor people are alcoholics who can't afford it, and this is going to hit them really badly.
Nah.
What a presumptuous, pompous thing.
That is pompous beyond belief. But I tell you what, to me, this is putting a plaster over your arm when the artery underneath is broken.
Yeah, of course it is.
But is Salmond really worried about the cost of alcohol in Scotland anyway? Quite frankly, I think all he's trying to do is drive more of a wedge between Scotland and the rest of the United Kingdom in order to support his bid for independence, and that's all about it. I mean, don't forget, he's representing a country there where they've got a huge alcohol problem, which outdoes the problem in the rest of the United Kingdom by an extraordinary factor. Mm. If anywhere needs some help with the problem of alcoholism, binge drinking, and all this sort of thing, I'm afraid it is Scotland. I think Salmond's got an agenda.
Well, I think some of these people ought to come over to Slovakia, check out the prices here, see how strong the alcohol is, and then ask the question, how come all the kids aren't drunk? Because they might get an answer. They might get an answer there. Ecuador is to pay for Assange's hospital bill. Holiday, I nearly said. Julian Assange, who's living in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, has a lung infection. I'm not surprised living there for such a long time.
It comes from talking all that hot air, doesn't it?
Well, probably. But apparently, there's a big barney between everybody now as to whether he can get to hospital without being arrested. Mm. But if he gets to hospital, then Ecuador is going to have to pay for his hospital bills. Oh, goody.
Well, why don't we just get him arrested? Honestly, it is so boring now. He made a bit of an impression on the world's media by doing what the press have been accused of and told off for, by exposing things that really shouldn't have been dumped into the public playground.
Well, this is the next story we're going to move on to quickly, because this might help some of Mark's people as well. Spam PPI, this is payment protection insurance people, and they've been texting thousands of people. They were making £8,000 a day out of all these texts that they were sending out. And Christopher Neville and Gary McNeish have now found themselves hit with a bill for £440,000. And I think that's blinking wonderful. And with a bit of luck, there'll be more of these prosecutions which are being done in the UK under the Privacy and Electronic Communications Regulation Bill, and it makes it illegal to send anonymous messages without the consent of the recipient. You must get loads of these on the CAG thing, Mark.
Well, I think we do get loads of them, but I have to say that I don't think this is wonderful news at all. £440,000, they ought to be double that. And I mean, apart from anything else, why on earth haven't they been banged up? They ought to be doing stir by now for this kind of thing. The amount of hassle and the, I mean, it's just extraordinary. And I mean, they've been making this huge amount of money. I think this is a slap on the wrist. I wonder if it's actually taken away all their profits. You know, is there really sort of real disincentive to do this kind of thing? I think prison is what they need. Absolutely, prison.
Okay, Lee. We've lost Lee as well. No, we haven't. He's there.
I think it's really harsh to say that, Mark, that these people should be put in prison.
It is harsh.
I think they do a really good public service. I get probably 5 calls a day off people like that. And you know what? If they didn't phone me up, nobody would phone me up.
You're a sad man.
Yeah, Gangnam Style, the dance track by the South Korean pop star.
Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style, Gangnam Style.
I reckon we should do it. Let's all stand up and do it.
Yeah, that's going to be great radio, isn't it?
Sexy lady.
Yeah. It's notched up 808 million viewers since it was posted in July. And it was only because his management team over here actually put the thing up there that it became a global hit and has made him a fortune. He's got medals in the country from the Prime Minister and everybody else. And I think it's just wonderful that this guy is in the middle of nowhere where he would not have stood a chance of getting through the A&R people in the music companies and everything else, and he's become a global sensation purely by going on to YouTube on the internet, and brilliant. That's the internet working at its best.
So popular? Because personally, I mean, I liked it, and I've shown my kids it and this sort of thing, and they're all going crazy, but it's not that good, is it?
It's just simple.
It's not good at all.
Well, actually, do you know what it is, Mark? I think you are the
old.
You are the perfect person for this dance.
Oh, right.
Because you are Dad the Embarrassing Dancer.
I'm Dad the Embarrassing Dancer.
Gangnam Style. There's lots of things like this, and it is good. And like you say, I think this actually puts the internet in the place where it should be. It's a place for
good bit of fun,
same degree mediocre entertainment. Yeah,
808 million people don't agree with you. Now, I ask every press officer this question: would you want this headline? New York City celebrates a day, one day, 24 hours without violent crime.
Brilliant headline. I think that is a stunning. That's up there with nuts, screws, washers and bolts. I think that is a stunning headline.
I mean, how amazing, though. And apparently, the level of violent crime has been going down for quite a number of years now. So, you know, whatever they're doing, this is not, I mean, it may be a glitch, but by and large, it reflects a trend. Yeah. And people must be celebrating. And I mean, how wonderful. And I don't know if you noticed, I found a piece also on the BBC website. A woman took a picture of a policeman who was talking. I mean, it's very cold in New York at the moment. And I thought this was nice. A 25-year-old policeman who stopped and talked to a beggar who was sitting there on the ground with bare feet. Apparently, it was frighteningly cold. And the policeman asked for the guy's shoe size and went off and bought him back some shoes and socks.
Oh, how lovely.
Okay, one-off, doesn't represent policy and what have you. But I have to say, you know, if everybody bought a pair of shoes and socks for one beggar near them somewhere, you know, it would really improve Christmas for quite a lot of people. I thought it was really smart. And this is a great headline. Celebrate a day without violent crime. How amazing.
Can't find them. The dark. It's the dark side of the headliner.
Exactly. Let's move on, Lee. Because Mark mentioned the model sizes earlier with his Spitfire, a man is
the elastic broke.
A man is attempting to get his model boat, which is 1.5 meters long or 5 feet, across the Atlantic at the phenomenal speed of 3 miles an hour.
I know. How big's the boat? 1.5 meters. That's nearly as big as me.
It's 5 foot. It's smaller than me.
Yeah, but it's nearly as big as me.
Nearly as big as me. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you, Mark, Mr. Pedantic over there.
Anyway, it's costing £450 to build this boat. From he lives in Sunningdale in Berkshire, and he's a bit of a clever techie, which is really cool. And if you look at the pictures on the web, you can see he's got a little bit of sponsorship for this.
Oh, is he?
Yes, yeah, a little bit of sponsorship on the side, and you'll see the post. I'm not going to give him the free advertising, but we wish him luck.
What kind of product?
I'm not saying, because otherwise he gives it away. No, but it does prove one thing. Us Brits will try anything. Doesn't matter what. I'm going to jump onto this next story because we haven't got much time left, and I love it. An SAS man has been freed from jail following some sanity in a UK court.
Yes.
Well, exactly, yeah. Danny Nightingale, who got an 18-month sentence for keeping an Iraq pistol that was given to him while he was out in Iraq, and he kept 300 rounds of ammunition with it. This is a very scary story to me. Mm. I'm sure that he was abused by the courts by giving him that kind of sentence, but I'm still not sure that the simple fact that a man came back from Iraq with a pistol and 300 rounds of ammunition and didn't tell anybody about it and kept it in his home, he should have been remonstrated with at least. But I'm glad he's out of prison.
He shouldn't go to prison.
Well, don't forget, I mean, the original sentence was from a military court. Yep. And I'm sure he has been remonstrated with. I mean, I'm quite certain he's been remonstrated with. Mm. But nice to find that at the end of the day, the civilian courts come in and are able to produce what I think the general public thinks is a decent and just and respectful decision.
Absolutely. And we'll finish off this week with something that I think we'll try and do this as a theme in the next couple of weeks, because Eric's ultimate Christmas present has arrived in the UK. It's from LG. It's a groundbreaking 84-inch ultra-high-definition television, which you can buy for me, Lee. It's got 2.2 speaker system.
Is it floppy? Can you fold it up and put it in your pocket?
No. But it comes with cinema glasses, 5 pairs of them. It's got magic remote voice control included. It's got a Freeview box in it. You can put your USB stick in it. And it's only £22,499.99.
Gangnam style.
As well.
So can I have two, Lee?
Yeah, I'll have to get one for your lounge, one for your bedroom. You can have one in your toilet as well. Can I tell you something that I spotted?
You've got 20 seconds.
It was incredible. I was walking around the streets lonely in the dark where people's window lights were on, and I was looking through windows like I do, because there's nothing wrong with doing that. That's not a crime. And there was a person, and the whole of the wall of their house, of their lounge, was a television.
I know, it's called projector system. Anyway, on that happy note, we've got to leave you, boys and girls. See you soon. Bye-bye.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.